as we like to say, check us out. Where do we check us out, Don?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Facebook, like us, please. We got various pieces and parts are going to be loaded. I had photo issues last week. I tried to upload and it didn't work. I had maxed the memory out of my phone, and I don't know why. Last week, I got to spend some time down in beautiful Florida. I was down in Fort Lauderdale doing some sea trials down there. And I was up in Stuart, Florida, doing some sea trials. I got to try out the new Cox diesel outboard. They had twins on a 38-foot tender. And it's about 1,100 pounds diesel, direct injected, a lot of torque. Again, it's 300 horsepower, but a 300 horsepower engine that weighs 1,100 pounds is pretty heavy, heavy, heavy.
Is it?
But here's the funny part about that, Don. Normally you have a diesel, like a truck or whatever.
Right.
And you have diesel smoke.
Right.
You have diesel smell.
Right.
You have, there was not a whiff. And I mean,
of odor.
There wasn't a whiff of diesel smell. And I was very surprised to see that. That's one thing. The other thing that I was surprised at was, they had.
Is this new technology?
Yeah, it's been out for a couple years, but they're refining it to the point where they are getting out and actually marketing.
So for the most part, these are going to be in large boats, either
they have ocean, to be large.
Ocean going or Great Lake type.
Yeah, bigger boats, probably the 24 plus foot boats, and ones that are going to be, you know, having obviously diesel access. But what I found was so unique was they were quite quiet for a diesel.
Yeah.
Fuel economy was pretty good. Like I said, they're still doing some refinement to that engine because there's two different engine companies in diesel. Believe it or not, this is pretty funny. There's Ox, O-X-E, and there's Cox, C-O-X. I don't quite understand why they decided to be mirror images of each other, but definitely different look, slightly, but yet some improvements they really need to work on. But yet still, that diesel has a lot of low-end grunt. It's not designed to go super fast, but it's designed to have longevity, and it really is different in the outboard world. Everybody's used to 6,000 RPMs wide open.
Right.
This one runs 3,800 wide open. So the power band is real short. I mean, it's... You take off and you're into the power band and you run it there.
Okay.
But no smell.
Yeah, I've never heard of them.
Yeah. Interesting. Like I said, some refinements need to happen, but nonetheless, it was pretty cool. A lot of fun boat rides I got to take. So
he calls that work. Out right around the boat, yeah, I was working my tail off today.
I
got to push the lever forward and she went.
Well, I got to take the props off and put props on.
Oh yeah.
Then I have to make sure
that's work.
That's
work.
Then I have to make sure I record the appropriate data. You know. So
again.
All right, let's jump into this. Let me how tough was your day, Don?
We're not talking about my day.
Don, did you push one button today? That's right, the dishwasher button.
I did
that
early this morning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was hard work. Well, ice fishing season is coming. And before the break, we talked a little bit about being safe on the ice, and a good friend of mine, Ross Robertson, has got some 10 tools for staying alive while ice fishing. You're going to say something?
I was.
About dishwasher?
No.
Oh.
Well, it could have been. I saw a video that got posted on Facebook of a guy sitting in his clam out on the, you know, ice, and he was, you know, boasting about the early season. Literally, he's the weight of him has got water now on top of it, and the ice couldn't have been 3/4 of an inch. And he catches a nice walleye, of course. I wouldn't be out there for all the walleye in,
I don't,
in
saying,
the body of water.
See, Don, in any situation where the weather is marginal, sketchy, or otherwise, or nautical, as we like to say.
Yeah.
I don't hate the fish that bad.
No.
I just don't. If it's a blizzard, I No, sorry. Don't hate him that bad.
And, of course, being the sportsman that he is, he puts the fish back in the hole, which was a good thing. I mean, it was maybe a six-pound fish.
He had no evidence of his trip literally after he died.
to take the chance that you can go through. Now, maybe he was in really shallow water. I don't know. But it didn't look that shallow, and it looked really thin. I'm going, wow.
Well, the problem
with that is you can't fix it.
Spikes won't help you at that point.
No.
Except it'll help you break the ice to get the swimming to shore.
An inner tube might.
Well, there is that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ross came up with some pretty good pieces and parts that you should probably think about taking with you, especially when it comes to the Great Lakes. Great Lakes are bad news, and people think ice fishing, well, I'm on the ice, and I can see shore, and life is good.
Well, how many weeks is it going to be before we do our flotilla?
I know.
Floating away from shore.
If you're not familiar with it, what we're referring to is the normal scenario where people decide they're going to go out early and on Lake Erie, and the ice chunks float away, and then they're needing to be rescued. All their equipment needs to be left. Nothing can be coming with them back when they're rescued, and all the equipment is lost.
Happens on Michigan, happens on Superior.
And more important, on Erie it happens.
Green Bay.
A ton. I know. Isn't it? Well, Green Bay, that was a big one too, if I remember correctly. So Ross's ideas, pretty cool. I'm going to zip through a couple of these pretty quickly, but a GPS, important.
Yep,
absolutely. Too many people have driven right off the ice floe and right into the water in a whiteout condition where you can get vertigo pretty easy. Hand compass, that solves any problems with not knowing which way to go, right?
Yep.
That's a big one. Ice picks, super important. Make sure you have those ropes or that twine strung between your sleeves and out your hands, hands. A throw bag, which I thought was, I forgot that they call it that, but a throw bag has a rope in it, and you hang onto one end, and you throw the bag out so it has some momentum to throw some distance. And you do that with whitewater rafting, so that works quite well. A VHF radio, that's key. A lot of times you don't have cell signal. And Don, your comment, a float suit.
Yep.
That's about as good as it gets. Clamshells
float suits. Nice one.
They really do. Ice cleats, so you're able to make sure you can get traction. Spud bar, which is, you need one for walking on the ice and working the area to find out what the depth is. End of story.
Before you step on the ice.
Before you get into trouble.
Yeah.
A float plan, which is important. Let people know when you're going to be going out, when you're coming back, and where you're going to depart from. And last but not least, some people, it's definitely short. It's called common sense.
Right. Well.
So if it doesn't look good and you check it and it's not good, don't let the desire to catch fish outweigh the smarts. It just doesn't pay. It's not worth it. And we just don't want to hear about anybody and being a story on our show and being a casualty. So
please be careful.
Yes, for sure. Hang tight. We're going to be coming back. We're going to be talking a little bit about Wisconsin's deer hunt and what exactly happened and how many did everybody get. That and more when we return.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Welcome back, everybody. And as promised, more cool stuff like we always have. Searching the annals of the worldwide everywhere. whether it's by word, by web, or by what else is there? Word, web, and wing. There you go. I don't know what wing it would be, but we're just going to go with that as it is.
Every once in a while, we talk from experience.
That's overrated.
It is.
Sorry. Anyway, jumping into it about Wisconsin, a little story came out of Wisconsin. We're sitting at where we're at with the opening weekend and how everyone fared. And in Wisconsin, Wisconsin hunters killed 14% more deer on the opening weekend of the nine-day gun season than in 2021.
Than all of 2021.
Than in 2021. So, story goes as follows. They killed more deer during this year's nine-day gun hunting opening weekend than in 2021, largely due to snow cover. That made hunting easier, which is a big thing. They released the data that showed hunters registered 103,623 deer over the weekend, compares with 90,000 deer last year's opening weekend. So, big deal there. Annual average opening weekend harvest from 2017 to 2019 was 102, so we're still above average. And this is the interesting part about this. The higher total came despite far fewer hunters in the woods. The total sales of DNR hunting licenses that allow hunters to use firearms to kill deer stood at 539,550 as of midnight on Sunday, which is down 2% from the same point the previous year. The wildlife biologist said snow cover helped the hunter spot and track deer. Some animals were still in the rut, which led to a lot of moving deer, which is the biggest difficult part if you don't have moving deer. They reported six firearm-related injuries, including one fatality. A 41-year-old man shot and killed an 11-year-old boy while he was trying to unload his gun in the back seat of a vehicle in Green Lake County. They were members of the same hunting party. Also on Sunday, a 33-year-old man shot himself in the finger while playing with a handgun and was treated for the injury. He obviously survived. Four other incidents took place on Saturday. A 22-year-old man was hunting when he was shot in the leg during a drive. The DNR officials said a 20-year-old man shot him while firing at a running deer. Both men were part of the same hunting party. In Marquette County, a 16-year-old boy shot a 69-year-old woman. The boy was hunting from a ground blind when he fired at a deer. The bullet flew across a pond and hit the woman. Both the boy and the woman were part of the same hunting party. In Iowa County, a 15-year-old boy shot himself in the foot while he was unloading his gun while sitting in the passenger seat of the truck. And in Oneida County, a 24-year-old man shot himself in the foot. He was repairing his rifle sling when his hand froze to his weapon. As he tried to free his hand, he hit the trigger and the gun went off.
Obviously, it wasn't unsafe.
That would be you know what?
Brilliant.
There's your sign. DNR officials recorded 12 incidents during the entirety of the 2021 nine-day season. The state has averaged about six incidents every year over the last decade. The nine-day season ends Sunday.
You know, I don't understand. I don't understand people that put their loaded firearm in the vehicle and then unload it. I've never understood that.
Well, don't stand out in the cold and do it, Don.
Well, I'll tell you what, the ground will take, the impact a whole lot better than your foot will or your vehicle. There's probably, you got a gas tank underneath there somewhere, too.
So here's a story. I've got a story for you. You're going to laugh. So we would go hunting Montana, my dad and a couple other guys, every year. Just, it was a fun hunt. It wasn't, we were going after bucks. We're just going out there for camaraderie, and we go for doe and whatever. And so oftentimes when you're driving out there, you use your vehicle to transit areas during the day to try and find deer. And so we had a road that we were going on. We got permission on this big ranch we hunted on. And the road was overlooking a large valley.
Right.
And we saw some deer. So the guys were opposite the deer, got out. These are mule deer, got out and lined up. And then the other guy crawled across the seat and got out, so they all had a chance. A couple guys had a chance to shoot. So two guys said, okay, we're going to shoot. So they lined up on the deer. One guy said, I'm going to shoot first. Then the other guy's like, all right, let's shoot back up. And so they lined up. bracing on the hood. And it's okay, I'm going to shoot in 3, 2, 1. He shot. He said, it was 160, 180-yard shot. It wasn't a long shot.
But a rifle? Means
for out there. Right.
It's a gimme.
Right. Couldn't figure it out. We didn't see dirt fly. We didn't see anything. Nothing.
Deer still standing there?
Pops another, chambers it. Deer still standing there.
Probably decoys.
shoots another round. Still nothing. You can't figure out what it is. So he backs off. One of the other guys pulls up on it, shoots, downs it, nothing. Now, the guy that shot was a driver. This is the guy who drove the vehicle, right? It was a brand new Grand Wagoneer, Grand Cherokee Wagoneer, you know, the high-end Jeep.
Okay.
Right? So we're trying to figure it out, and I look at the hood, and I said, did you happen to have two holes in the hood before you started today?
No way.
Shot right through the hood, went right into the inner well, didn't hit the tire, and came out underneath and dented and kind of ricocheted off the underside of the metal of the vehicle on the quarter panel and went to the ground. Two bullet holes right smack in it. So what happens was the scope didn't pick up because of the distance of the scope and where it was, the range of the scope.
Right.
Did not have the hood in
the picture.
The picture. But the rifle and the bullet trajectory definitely entered
in the hood in the mix.
Yeah. Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah.
Because we had to pull the hood out. We're back 12 miles.
I got to know, did the third guy get the deer?
Yep.
Yeah.
They didn't move? Second guy got the deer. No.
Wow.
They couldn't figure out where it was coming from because we were back on the edge of a
tall road. That happened to me this year. I was lucky enough to get a doe.
And you shot your vehicle?
And no, but there was another deer standing right next to it, and it never left.
I mean, it sounded like,
well, what, I kept walking back like, why are you taking a nap now? You know, and I literally climbed out of the stand, and it was still standing there. I said, you know, I don't really need two deer.
It's like the smallmouth deal. You catch a smallmouth, and you have five other smallmouth that are hanging out. Wait for me!
Right.
Wait for me! So that's one of those things that you don't know, which usually happens. But we'll tell you what, we get to take a wrap, my friend. And can't thank you enough for joining us this week. This is the Valley Outdoors. Have a great, great weekend.